This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, Attorney at Law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Radio Law Talk Hour number 2. I'm with Todd Cunin, myself, Frederick Penny, and Chris is our special guest producer today. Not three-time Emmy-nominated person like Cal was, but appreciate Chris being here. And Chris, also in Dallas, thank you for being here and taking care of all the little buttons and the little things you got to push up and down, and you know, I don't know what all that stuff is. It's so confusing. There's wires everywhere is all I know. Wires everywhere. What is it? What's this? I look behind the board, man. There's like, it's like a tangled web of, I swear we must, it'd be, the spiders must live back there, Chris. What's the deal?
That's where Cal keeps all the,
all the case or no cases. Yeah.
Again, we're back to the vault.
Yeah. I think Chris is going to have to get back. I guarantee he looked back and went, oh.
Oh, yeah, it's scary back there.
Yeah, so Chris is going to have to come someday.
I better take a canary with me.
No, he's going to bring a bunch of zip ties. He's going to walk in with like 1,000 zip ties. All right, we're going to clean this.
Let's get this taken care of.
That's exactly it. Chris is our tech guy that helps on a lot of different fronts. We appreciate him being here. This is Radio Law Talk. Call us at 855-LAW-RADIO. Again, 855-529-7234. We're talking about general topics of law. Seek local counsel. We're not giving legal advice. Go to an attorney. Go to www.radiolawtalk.com if you want to listen to us live, or if your local station is going to cut us off after 2 hours, call them up and say, hey, keep it on for all 3 hours, 9 to noon Pacific time every Saturday. We're here. We're talking about the latest topics, the latest legal topics, and we're making it fun. I mean, as one producer said to us that started carrying the show in a radio station, I gotta get that email, Joe Sparra, our affiliates relations guy, said that he sent it to me. It's kind of like, wow, Radio Law Talk didn't sound too interesting, but when I listened to it, it was awesome. It was funny. We have a good time. And that's what we do here. We try to bring you interesting legal issues and have fun with them, and yet maybe you can get a little bit out of it. But email us at info@radiolawtalk.com if you want to give us a call. If you want to email us, and that's during the week. So a lot of times we do answer those things. So today we're going to talk about the second hour. We're going to talk about tobacco lawsuits. Wow, Todd and I as attorneys, this is all about a closing argument that we're going to discuss how a $37 million verdict and what happens to the verdict after closing statements. We're going to discuss that. American Pickers, Mike Wolf. We got Tesla being sued again. We've got a lot of other issues we're going to talk about that are going to be really cool. Well, a funny one that I just think is kind of funny is off the wall is Los Angeles court is fined. The actual courts are fined. Get some fines from the government. No, let me repeat that. The court got fined from the government. So we're going to talk about what happened there and where we go. But the reason everybody comes to Radio Law Talk is one thing and one thing only, and that is case or no case. Roll it, Chris.
Now it's time to play case or no case.
Yay! All right. We both got 2 points last time, so go ahead and lead us into this one. We're going to win again.
Okay. A man was injured in Missouri while riding a human gyroscope at a carnival type of venue. The defendant owned and operated the ride as part of a larger recreational facility where the plaintiff was attending a fundraising event. According to the defendant's own promotional material, the ride, known as the Spaceball, is designed to operate as a single-seat human gyroscope that inverts and rotates its rider. To protect the ride...
Wait, I'm going to interrupt.
Yeah.
That sounds like Todd's dating life.
Hey. Now.
Repeat it. Go back. Before it turns and rotate. What was that?
Okay. It is designed to operate as a single seat human gyroscope.
That's exactly it. Just think of Todd's dating life. Keep going, Chris.
That inverts and rotates its rider.
This is a great one. This is all Todd's dating life. Keep going.
To protect the rider, the space ball has a harness that is locked in place with a cotter pin and secures the rider to the chair.
There you go.
Darn straight. Strap yourself in, buddy. And when do you think I avoid liability?
It was claimed the defendant provided no staff to assist riders in using the space ball.
Just me, baby.
Just Todd. Instead, it claimed the organization responsible for the fundraising event was supposed to provide volunteer operators who failed to show.
I'll use interns. I don't care.
This is exactly his dating life. Volunteer operators that failed to show.
Hey.
Todd's sitting there at the restaurant all the time. Well, another no-show, Mr. Cunin? Yeah, another no-show. All right. Here's your free meal. We feel bad for you.
Date me, satisfy your pro bono hours. Come on, we're good.
Yeah, keep going.
Okay, and the defendant itself never trained anyone in how to operate the ride or safety harness, and it allowed patrons at the fundraising event, including the plaintiff, to use the ride. He fell out and onto the steel floor of the ride. He was hurt and immediately called his lawyer and asked, case or no case?
He doesn't say what state, though, does he?
Missouri.
Missouri. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I think I go first.
You're up first on this one, Fred.
All right. Here we go. This one I like because I'm a personal injury lawyer, so this one's right up my alley. And I can go on for an hour and discuss the issues here, but I'm going to make it quite simple. This is clearly a case because I think, Cal, that the details are a little bit too, you know, too detailed, and it's in Missouri, and the space ball, or either that, or he's thinking about when he rode the space ball up at the local county fair, and Cal fell out. So at that, or what it is it's a true case, and the winner is going to be the individual that was injured, because you have to have safety. People have to be trained. There has to be certain safety standards. There have to be warnings. There has to be, you know, signs, et cetera, et cetera. I can go on forever and ever. I don't know Missouri law. I don't practice in Missouri. But I'm going to say it's a case, and the injured person wins.
All right. Fred says case.
All right.
Yeah. What say you, Todd?
Well, you know, we're sticking with the "this describes my dating life," and I'll just tell you right now, if you ain't this tall, you can't ride this ride, baby. So,
where did that come from?
But I'm surprised you didn't mention this. I'm going to agree with you.
Yeah.
But one thing that, if I have learned anything from Radio Law Talk, seated to your left for the last 4 years,
right,
it is this, that despite the fact that there may be waivers and stuff that you sign, if they even did exist, somebody can never waive negligence.
Exactly right.
Negligence liability, and the way this was set up about having just a cotter pin and no
rarely, safety, don't say never, say rarely.
Safety measures. Well, I'm going to say never for purposes of my answer, because I could be wrong. But, but you know, so they've got all of this, and everything that happened just reeks of negligence here. So I'm going to say that this is a case, and I got to agree with Fred. I think this is a case, and the plaintiff wins.
All right, let's do this one. We got time on this one.
We got about a minute left here.
Let's hold it then.
Yeah.
Start playing that music, Chris. Just start playing the music. Then we're going to tease them and find out what whether or not the Todd's dating life is like a gyroscope. That's the first thing we got
to
do.
I got to check Twitter, Chris, to see if Todd Cunin's Spaceball Gyroscope is available. I might take that name.
And the second thing is whether or not it's a case. And whether or not the individual that was injured won. But I still think it applies to your life. I think it really does.
Yeah, you know.
You know, Todd, don't forget, I'm married. Your life's the exciting life that we have to live through.
If you're looking at my life for vicarious excitement, you're in trouble.
All right, we'll be back right after this. Again, keep your seatbelt on and tighten that strap. We'll be back.
commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. That's 800-918-1376.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. That's 800-670-0940.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
I think Brad's the best. I want my toy. It's time painting now.
Email the show anytime you'd like. Info@radiolawtalk.com. I-N-F-O. Info. Info. @radiolawtalk.com.
So we are... are playing Case or No Case, Chris brought up this wonderful space ball case, the gyroscope that we, the analogy was with Todd's dating life. There's a gyroscope at this little, I'm going to say amusement park, and this individual gets in it, and it doesn't apparently work quite right, as in keeping him strapped in, and they don't have proper training, and he's thrown out and injured. And this is in Missouri. We said both of us said it's a case, and the injured party wins, much like Todd's dating life. Someone's always injured, and someone always wins.
Darn straight.
All right. Are you ready for the answer?
Let's do it.
Do tell.
The answer is, it's a case.
Yes. All right. That's awesome.
So we both get 1 point at least.
Okay, the winner. Go ahead. Tell the story.
Okay, doctors diagnosed the plaintiff with a joint fracture and aggravation of the plaintiff's pre-existing degenerative disc disease.
And the similarities, my dating life continue.
There you go. The plaintiff filed a personal injury lawsuit.
That's what his girlfriends do, too?
Personal injury lawsuits. A jury saw it his way and held the defendant as 100% at fault for the accident and ordered it to pay the plaintiff $1.5 million in damages.
Yes.
And that's why I can't have a credit card.
Well, the defendant appealed. The Missouri Court of Appeals dismissed the appeal. Among other issues, the appeals court rejected the defendant's argument that the amount of the judgment was excessive, especially since the plaintiff had only sought between $500,000 and
$750,000. Ooh, boy, they hit that plaintiff's. That defense bar was not too happy.
Yeah, the court explained that under Missouri law, the jury was entitled to award a higher amount, and that it was in a much better position to assess the extent of pain and suffering endured by the plaintiff than the court itself.
That's great. When the plaintiff's lawyer, just give us $750,000, they go, we'll give you $1.5 million.
Yeah, we'll double it for you.
There you go. That's a jury. That's a clapping one. And that is case or no case. And Todd, we are smoking Denise. She is not here and losing points. We got 4 points so far each, right?
Yeah, that's true. And I just want to say a disclaimer here that no person who has ever been in a relationship with me, with the exception of my former spouse, has ever secured a money judgment as a result of that relationship.
No points for you.
And your former spouse got a money judgment.
Oh, yeah, she got a money judgment.
It was very small amount.
Oh, very small. I was actually paid in snow cones and food stamps. The local Little League ballpark.
Snow cones are good payment.
Yeah. I don't know if this is going to work, but it's alimony, baby. Have at it.
Have at it. Oh, my gosh. We're going to talk about tobacco lawsuit, American Pickers Mike Wolf, and Tesla being sued again. So, but here's the thing. You know, there's this tobacco lawsuit. What you're going to learn about this, and as Todd and I know as trial lawyers, and we've both tried cases, the closing argument is probably one of your most important things that you have to do well, right? You have to, basically lay out the evidence that was presented and put it in a fashion that the jury is going to understand. You kind of put it in a package and tie it in a bow. But the most important thing you do is, and the judge and the courts allow you some bravado, right? You're going to allow some bravado, but you got to be careful on how much bravado you use in your closing statement or your closing argument.
And that is bravado, not vibrato. I mean,
that's exactly right.
He's guilty.
That's right. So in this case, there's a $37 million verdict. Against the Tobacco Institute for this one individual's wife who dies of cancer. He sues the tobacco industry, and it gets overturned.
That's right.
By the appellate court. And the appellate court overturns this case. And why do they... This is great. Why did they overturn the case, Todd?
They overturned the case because of the language, the inflammatory language used by the plaintiff's counsel. The general idea here, this is what the court's looking for. Did the way that the attorney was for the plaintiff in referring to the defendant, was their language so over the top that it would inflame the jurors and cause the jurors to abandon all reason in returning a verdict? Like, I'm just going to return a verdict because I hate the defendant, right? As opposed to taking the evidence and applying the facts to the law and seeing if the elements are met by the facts that were brought out at the trial. And what the court found was that the statements of plaintiff's counsel rose to the level that the jurors would abandon all reason and just render a verdict because they didn't like the tobacco company. And in doing so, they cited a few things that the attorney said in closing argument. So, for example,
this is interesting. This is great, by the way. You got to hear this. Here, put your headphone, turn your volume up. This is the good one. Listen to this.
Referring to the tobacco company as, quote, the soulless enterprise of death. Okay. It's one thing to say they manufacture a product that results in the death of other people. That is factually correct. That does not label the defendant. It talks about, it describes what they do, not who they are. But to refer to them, who they are, as the soulless enterprise of death, well, that goes a bit overboard.
That sounds like some girlfriends that told you that, huh?
Yeah, what is it with this second hour and me and and girlfriends? Hey, nobody complained about the gyroscope ride, okay?
All right.
So,
that is Armadillo.
Yeah.
Other things they talked about were when, let's see.
No, that's George. Now they talk about, he brings up George Orwell's, what is it, dystopia novel. He talks about the 1984 Oscar Wilde book, The Picture of, what, Dorian Gray, right?
That's from Fifty Shades of Gray.
Right. But what I'm saying is he's quoting these novels.
That's right.
It's not like he's saying it himself. And he puts the tobacco industry as one of the players in the novel or one of the characters, right?
Yeah. So, for example, in Fifty Shades of Gray, there's a part where Gray, the lead character, it's in reference to him, it says, quote, he's able to see inside his own self and sees that he is rotten. And, well, if you say that in a jury trial in your closing argument and you're saying that's what the defendant is, they look in their own soul and they see that they are rotten, you've gone beyond talking about what the facts show that are relevant to the case, and now you're trying to label and characterize the defendant. You can get away with it a little bit, but if you go overboard,
right?
Guess what?
And what we're going to do? Go ahead.
You run the risk of losing out on a $37 million judgment that you thought you won.
And guess what? We're going to come back. We're going to state. I'm going to tell you some other statements that were made in his closing arguments that are very interesting. But the courts overturned and said, way too much, way too much. We'll be right back after this.
This portion of Radio Law Talk is brought to you by Strauss Naturals. For more information, go to StraussNaturals.com. That's Strauss, StraussNaturals.com.
Wayne Elliott here to tell you about my experience with Strauss Naturals Heart Drops over the past 20 years. Strauss Heart Drops saved me back then and changed my life forever. It's hard to describe how invigorating it is when you support your healthy blood flow everywhere. There is scientific evidence that Heart Drops ingredients help maintain healthy lipid concentration. Cholesterol is in the blood lipid group. This supports blood flow, our body's most important function. I was able to maintain a healthy heart and blood flow. Strauss Heart Drops work, I can assure you. No contraindications with pharma drugs. Strauss Heart Drops are safe, and Strauss guarantees your satisfaction with a hassle-free guarantee so you can't go wrong and certainly have nothing to lose. I've seen folks taking Heart Drops that have greatly improved their lives. Available online at StraussNaturals.com. Thank you very much.
These products may not be right for you. Always read and follow the label.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. That's 800-918-1376.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. Haiti is on edge as conspiracy theories about the president's assassination fill the vacuum. CNN's Matt Rivers is in Port-au-Prince.
This audio recording that CNN has not been able to independently verify allegedly captures the moment when the assassins gained access to the private presidential residence the night of the attack. Officials say the men posed as U.S. Drug Enforcement agents to get in. As police clean up the scene of a shootout they had with some of the assassins, all that remains, burned out cars, bullet holes, and bloodstains.
A Confederate monument that helped spark a violent white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, has been hoisted off its stone pedestal. Work to remove the statue of General Robert E. Lee began early Saturday morning. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
This is the best show ever. I mean at this time.
Time to get back to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station.
I love as we're coming out of the break and Chris is playing the Kitty Bumps. He's laughing. I can hear him laughing. He loves the Kitty Bumps. But we're talking about the $37 million verdict for the tobacco, against the tobacco industry, for this individual by the name of Richard M-A-H-F-U-Z, Mahfouz, because his wife died from supposedly smoking cigarettes. And it was overturned because of basically the inflammatory closing statements that he made, and we're quoting a few of them, and there's more interesting ones. He read a passage, the counsel did, from, and this is noted everywhere, but this is from the ABA Journal. I love, you know, some of the things, we go directly to the source, we see articles, we hear it from all different areas, from the news. But ABA brought up a couple important ones, and he described his client as trying to overcome Big Brother. He's the good guy. And then he reads a passage from the 1984, the book, right?
The novel, that's right.
The novel, and which the fictional character Winston, and I'm going to quote, was about ready to be tortured when he said, "You must stop imagining that posterity will vindicate you, Winston. Posterity will never hear you. You'll be lifted clean out of the stream of history." So, then he says, "Make sure the wife's not forgotten." You know?
Yeah,
I mean, a little bit inflammatory, you know.
Yeah. Oftentimes, when people discuss how attorneys go about trial, they'll use a sports analogy. Say, you know, it's like a sporting event where you go all out and you want to win. And I think that analogy sometimes
is misused and underserves the lawyers and is wrongly applied for this reason. I have yet to see, for example, a Super Bowl where at the conclusion of the Super Bowl, you got one team that wins, and then later on, it's determined that somebody didn't like a play or the way they went about playing the game, and the outcome, the victory is overturned. Yeah, I've never seen that happen in basketball. I've never seen that in any team sport. And yet, sometimes, if people think it's all about the victory here with regard to trial work, they don't realize that if you go overboard like this, you can have your victory overturned, like we do see sometimes in NASCAR, where a person wins a race, they do the post-race inspection to find out that there was something wrong with their car. You know,
right.
The panels were off, and if the car fails post-race inspection, same thing happens in horse racing. The victory can be invalidated. Track and field, steroid use, later somebody tests positive, that can be invalidated. And that's a better analogy to keep, have people keep in mind when they think it's all about winning a trial.
Well, yeah. What about when the NCAA took away those USC victories and Reggie Bush's Heisman? Is that a similar situation?
That would be similar. That doesn't go necessarily to the conduct of the specific game itself. That goes to what was going on outside of the purview of any specific game. But yeah, people need to keep that in mind, that your victory is not secure. I see this in criminal law a lot, where prosecutors sometimes will get very creative with some of their closing arguments, and it's particularly troubling there. Let's say you got a case that involves a victim who was really harmed, and it's a heinous case. And they think, okay, finally I've got justice. The person that did this to me or my family member has been put in jail. They've been convicted. Bill Cosby. We covered that last week. And then later on they come back and an appellate court says, yeah, the way they went about trying to convict that person violated constitutional rights. It was wrong.
Sometimes they go overboard. That's it. It's like, okay, just lay the stuff out. But you know what? They're doing the best they can.
And right? It's tough, especially look. All the evidence that was presented in this case, but it's especially difficult when you look at it and say, you could have won if you hadn't done that.
Right.
You know, you added on, and it actually detracted from a case that was already a winner.
Yeah, it could have been. We don't know. He also said, don't lose sight, quote, the evil that men do, the conduct of these individuals lives on. Horrors leave shadows. Especially carcinogenic horrors. It's just, you know, the extreme vibrato that was used. The court held that it was improper inflammatory closing arguments that appealed to a passion by trial counsel. So that basically, and then the courts basically said you just went too far. And then you said the dissent. What did the dissent say?
Well, the dissent said, look, one of the It was a concurring opinion, and some of the dissent said, well, we don't think this really rose to the level of, to the point where the jury would completely ignore the evidence that was presented. They'd want to convict just because they hated the defendant based upon these statements. Probably didn't rise to that level, but still, it was egregious enough for us to look at this and take action here. And, you know, I keep going back to this. It might not have been necessary. The rule of thumb that I try to follow when I'm in trial is this. I will characterize the conduct. So let's say I'm suing Fred and I say, Fred lied, Fred did this, Fred did this. I characterize the conduct. I'm not characterizing Fred. So I could say he lied, but I'm not going to say Fred is a liar, because if I say that, now I'm characterizing him and not the conduct. And that's where people, trial lawyers, can really go afoul of the rules.
I'm not a liar.
He's not a liar. Okay. No, I'm just using that as an example. This was all fictitious and still has nothing to do with my dating life.
Exactly. Speaking of dating life, American Pickers. I love American Pickers. That's one of my favorite shows.
That's the segue of all segues there.
Yeah. Do you watch that one ever, Chris?
Yeah.
I love American Pickers. And the best part about it is some of the stuff. I'm wondering if it's kind of set up. What do you guys think? Just tell me the truth. Do you think it's, obviously, I love the pulling up and the cameras are all there. Hi, I'm Mike. Here you go, Walt Michael. Here's a list of what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I just read an article about that. That part of the show is set up by where the producers find the locations for them to go, and then they act like they found it just driving around.
Right. I'm wondering though if they kind of dig through it in advance and say, "Here's some stuff that's what I'm curious about."
Yeah, and they said that the prices are already agreed upon, and then they film the negotiation, if you will.
Got it.
You know, on these reality shows, there's a real fine line that they have to walk when it comes to Screen Actors Guild scale and the people that participate in these, because a reality show, look, they came in vogue back in the late 90s when the writers went on strike and they had to do this content, they had to fill content, right? Remember the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Oh, yeah.
That was a game show. It came in, and they could get around the writer's strike and all that because these were technically game shows. They weren't stuff that you needed to have SAG writers do. The same thing was true with reality series. This is not scripted. And sometimes these shows can get into trouble if their sets are too staged, because now SAG comes in and says, hold on a second, that's not reality television. That's scripted television. So there's a real fine line you have to walk there.
Interesting.
With this.
Yeah, I love watching it, but I do, some of it just seems like, look, okay, we've got 50 acres of stuff. Oh, look what I found. I just don't know in a half hour. I look underneath 20 things. I found this. Oh, look at this great find. I bet they've hired, I'm not saying this is true. You guys I'm speculating. 50 guys out there, you know, making minimum wage, digging around. Okay, Mike, this is where you look, you know.
If they did an Easter egg hunt the same way, there'd be one guy, Grandpa would be out there with his favorite grandson. Hey, go look behind the oak tree. I left an egg with like a $50 bill in it. Oh, look what I found.
That's exactly right. I wish someone would have told me that about the eggs. I was usually the one, go look around the other oak tree. There's like nothing over there.
Oh, I found an egg, and it's not even hard-boiled. It's been here for a year. Wow.
It's from last year's. Anyway, anywho, and Denise isn't here usually. He's filed for a divorce of his wife, and they're in Tennessee, which is... apparently is a no fault.
So no. Tennessee is a
fault?
Is a fault state.
So then why do they say irreconcilable differences?
Well, that's the reason for the split. Let's see, filed for divorce, but they still have to.
Right.
They still have to prove fault. That was what came up in our Ben Zobrist case, where he had filed in Tennessee, which was a fault case. She filed in Illinois, which is no fault.
Yeah, that's right.
And that changes things up a bit, which is going to have jurisdiction here. But
so they're going to have to show fault.
Yeah, they're going to have to show something.
But I guess it was the November of TMZ apparently put out that in November is. She filed for divorce, apparently, right? In November, but I don't know what's going on now. Apparently, recently they just, they're separated. I don't know. It says they're separated as of June of 2020. But anyway, the divorce is going on. And the reason we just want to bring that up, just to touch on it, because we want to make sure you, stay tuned next week, Radio Law Talk will have Denise Dirks back, who is our family law attorney.
Maybe the divorce will go like an episode of American Pickers, where they walk into court, everything is already agreed to, they don't have to. They do a little bit of haggling. The forms are already prepared. Everything. Oh, this is real. This is the way that it happens. We'll have to see if that happens.
No, she's going to go, I want that thing that you picked from that one thing, that one show, December 28th.
It's almost done. And then she says, I want the Beanie Baby collection. 3 months later, still in negotiation.
We'll be back right after this.
Advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to radiolawtalk.com.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech carbine upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Where's Rodriguez?
No point for you.
This is Radio Law Talk with Frederick Penny.
Rodriguez hasn't been here for years. I'll tell you right now, where's Rodriguez? He's playing baseball right now.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good friend of ours. He pops in every once in a while. So there's a couple of things we want to talk about, mainly the Tesla car, Tesla situation. Again, we've been hearing about these Tesla accidents of the basically autopilot is the issue of what happens. And again, you know, it's they haven't perfected it to the point where it doesn't have some issues. And we have a 15-year-old boy that was killed in 2019 involving a Tesla Model 3 that was on autopilot. Apparently, the guy that was driving the Tesla was going from one lane to the next. And it didn't stop in time. At least the autopilot was confused or thinking by the sun. They're not quite sure the cameras, but it didn't apparently see the SUV in front of him and hit the SUV and then cause it to careen out of control, the SUV, and apparently turn over. Or was it a pickup or an SUV?
It was a Ford Explorer, so yeah. It was an SUV. Yeah. So it got rear-ended by the Tesla. The Tesla careened, rolled over, and the 15-year-old in the Tesla or in the SUV was killed.
Yeah.
But you know, I want to throw a question to you really quick, Fred. In reading up on this, the 15-year-old was also not wearing a seatbelt.
Right.
And so how does that work in the state of California? Where okay, if you can prove liability because the driver and the manufacturer of the Tesla, let's say they're liable for hitting the truck. But what happens if you can show that not wearing the seatbelt also contributed to the injuries? How does that work in the state of California?
So all states are a little different, so you got to check your local state. But generally speaking, this is what's called a comparative negligence state. So you're going to be able to say this person was partially at fault or that person was partially at fault by causing the injuries or the accident, either way. And this is a deep... how do I say it? It's a very difficult discussion and is the hiring of many experts to determine the injuries or what the injuries would have been if they were wearing a seatbelt, which it is legal. You have to be wearing a seatbelt legally while you're in a car. And so since this individual was hit and then it caused this, apparently it's a Ford Explorer pickup, but it caused it to start rolling, and this individual was ejected and passed away, unfortunately, but not wearing a seatbelt. What would have happened had he been wearing a seatbelt is going to be the argument for defense, right? Defense is going to argue had he been wearing a seatbelt, he would have lived and maybe had some bruises, and therefore that needs to be taken into consideration by the jury and to determine that we're not going to be held liable for those serious injuries of death, right? Or then you could argue, you know, as the plaintiff side, well, he would have maybe been injured worse. And I've seen plaintiff side saying, you're right, he wouldn't have died, but he would have broke his neck with the impact, with the rollover, and therefore been paralyzed for the next, you know, 45 years and required $20 million. I'm just using examples. $20 million in future medical care. We want more money than $2 or $3 million bucks, right? And, or whatever, you know, $10 million, whatever. But, so it is it's a matter of experts. And, you know, the thing is, this vehicle went flying and rolling over. There could have been significant injuries had he had a seatbelt on also. And that's just all about experts, hiring experts, and that's where it's about writing big checks by the law firms to bring in experts, because they're not cheap to give opinions, and both sides are going to have these experts giving opinions as to what the injury would have been had he been wearing a seatbelt.
To any extent, do they look at the fact, let's say the driver, the kid's dad or whoever was driving the car, if he was there, the driver of the car, let's say that person was wearing a seatbelt, the 15-year-old was not wearing a seatbelt, they go into this accident, there's a rollover, and let's say, just hypothetically, the driver comes away with minor or no injuries at all, relatively minor, no paralysis, nothing like that. Would they look at it and say, see, if he'd been wearing a seatbelt, the outcome would have been like the driver who was wearing a seatbelt.
I knew you were going there.
Yeah.
In fact, right when you started talking, I knew that. So the answer is yes and no, like we always say, but generally no. And the reason I say generally no is it's the position of where the individual was, where the impact was. I know the impact was from the rear, but as it started rolling, what impact or damage would have been caused to that individual? Every individual is different. The impact in different areas as they're rolling is going to be different. The size of the individual, where the seatbelt's located, if it's on them, like a tall individual, seatbelt's going to be a different place, right? You know, who knows? I don't know if the truck rolled over and hit the side of the wall, right? And it hit the wall on the side, you know, where the kid would have been, the 15-year-old. So it just...
Because he was thrown from the vehicle.
Right.
Yeah.
But the question is, where he was in the vehicle, had he been wearing his seatbelt, what would have that injury been? It depends. That's what it's called. You got to look at the rollover factor, what his body would have been doing with the seatbelt on. Sometimes you have issues of seats breaking and individuals break their backs or their necks because the seat back breaks, right?
Yeah.
Then you got a manufacturer issue. But this is all what I said when I'm going to go back to the very beginning. And this is all speculation because I don't know all the details. But it comes down to experts and what they're going to find and what they're going to do. But the answer is yes, Todd. That is definitely, defense is going to be arguing that Their argument's going to be he would have been fine with some bumps and bruises, but they're not. But I doubt a court's going to allow it to say, hey, look what the passenger did, his injuries or her injuries were. I doubt the court will ever let that in.
Yeah, one of the confusing things is what does it mean to have a car that's on autopilot? Now, you wrote an article a while back where it talked about liability, and they went over different types of autopilot that can happen. One is, I mean, to a certain extent, you could say cruise control is autopilot in the sense that your speed is all that is set, right? And that's, if that's on one end of the scale, and then on the other end of the scale, you have fully auto, get in the back seat, watch a movie, the car does everything, which I think people think when they hear the term autopilot, and that technology isn't here yet, that you can completely ignore it.
Exactly.
And so what are the different types that we have, and, you know, where do people really mess up when they think, boy, I can do all this free stuff now that I'm driving a Tesla on autopilot?
Absolutely not. In fact, that you are still liable. In fact, the police held, and by the way, that's another whole issue, the police's opinion is not evidence in a court of law, by the way. Because they weren't there. They didn't witness it. Now they can come in as an expert witness if it's what's called the mate team or they have the expertise. So it depends on the judges whether or not they let the testimony of the officer in. But the situation is you still have to control that car. You still have to be in charge of hitting the brake if that doesn't look like it's going to stop, right? And if you've ever been in a vehicle that has all that automatic stop and all that stuff, let me tell you, I don't like it. I don't like it. It scares me. It bothers me because it's stopping and going a lot, you know. I've driven those type of vehicles. Not a Tesla, but other ones that have the real, you know, I'm going to say a semi, autopilot, vehicles, and it just drove me nuts, I'm telling you.
If you've ever ridden as a passenger in a vehicle, and I'm sure we all have, and let's say the driver is a younger driver or something like that, and they're speeding up and stopping, and you're trying to look down to do something, you're getting jostled and jerked around a little bit because the driver is in control of the vehicle. The driver can brace themselves for a brake they know they're going to hit, or acceleration, or turning to the left, or turning to the right. But if you're riding in the vehicle and not watching the road, now you're subject to all these different moves. That's kind of what it's like if you're in a vehicle that is, in my opinion, too automated, because it's kind of hard to determine and prepare for what the car is going to do.
You want to know something interesting? Did you know that, I don't drive a Tesla. Before you enable the autopilot, you must agree on the Tesla. You know, it won't allow you to do it unless you agree to keep your hands on the steering wheel at all times and always maintain control and responsibility of the car. It tells you to do that.
Which I think would be a good thing, with one exception. I think that the Tesla, just my opinion, if that is going to be an issue and they want to avoid liability, then there should be a sensor on that steering wheel that detects when you've removed your hands from the steering wheel for, you know, longer than 5 seconds or 10 seconds. You're clearly not holding on to the steering wheel. There's got to be a sensor that takes it off auto. Okay, you got to drive now.
Yeah, I guess the question also is, again, it's a question. That's why you have lawyers, right? You have a question is, okay, let's assume that says that. Do you know or have knowledge that people are not doing that? And if so, you better might want to step up and, like you say, have a sensor on the steering wheel. I don't know, but this is all new technology, and it's going to take time. It's actually going really fast. And interesting, Elon Musk has tweeted out, accidents on autopilot are becoming rare. He tweeted that out, and I get it. He's trying to say, look, you know, statistically, it's much more rare to get an accident and die with the autopilot than it is with other non-autopilots, and that's what he's trying to say. But they're still working on this, and it's still liable. The person driving the car, they're still liable. But I'm telling you right now, there's a number of people dying. There's March 23rd, 2018 in Mountain View. Someone else, Apple software engineer, died. I can go on. In April 2021, a man in Houston, Texas died. So there's cases all over the up and down. But guess what? If you start adding up, you start adding up all the cases that are auto accidents that are not autopilot, then it's not that big of a deal. Maybe. We'll be right back.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$5,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.